Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This. You can find them on the web, dqag.com, and we say good morning to them right now. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh, it's just you, Greg, huh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I thought Tim probably would have texted you. He took his first air flight yesterday. He's in New York doing a large appraisal. So
there you have. There you go. You're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm on the clock.
Well, see, I'm going to start you off with something you probably don't much know about in the auctions, and that is, and this is really something that gets to me. There's an ultra rare car that is up for auction, a 1971 Plymouth Barracuda. It's a Hemi Cuda, okay, and it is up for auction, and it is a really rare car, and it's a beautiful car. It's one of those muscle cars of the early 70s. It's the estimated value of it. All right. $6 million. It's just there were only about 11 or 12 convertibles believed to have been ordered in this type of setup with a 426 Hemi V8. Only 11 or 12. So this is one of 11 or 12, and the starting price is probably going to be somewhere around $6 million.
Well, that's I don't know if it's going to be that high, but it's cars are one of those things. Even during the pandemic, they were bringing like astronomical amounts, and it'll be interesting to see, because I remember the Barracuda. It was in my heyday.
It was the year I graduated high school, so I remember it really well.
Yeah, well, but I was more of a when I was in high school, the cars were not really a thing. I didn't really, as a matter of fact, I had a what I thought was the coolest car in the world was a Vega. Oh, man.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
So, I know. So it ended up sitting in my parents' driveway, rusting down to a bucket of bolts. But the Barracuda was one of the things that – one of the cars that I really did like. I mean, I was never into cars, but the Barracuda was really a cool thing. And I think we all go through this. It could be just a guy thing, but you get to a certain age and all of a sudden cool cars are just the coolest thing. And, you know, you go not so much by what they do, but what they look like. And the Barracuda was one of those cars for me.
Well, the last time one of these cars sold out of the 10 or 11 was back gosh, I think it was in 2013 or 14, I forget, but it was around there. And I think back then it went for, and this is, you know, so now we're looking at 7-8 years ago, it went for almost $4 million back then. So it's going to be interesting to see what the pandemic and what the economic pressures have done to this car when it goes out for auction. Because there's so many factors that add into what you're going to get for a car. Even if it's that rare, where there was only 10 or 11 made like that, there's just so many other things that can either bring the price up or bring the price down.
Well, as I recall, there was a Barracuda that sold, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I don't remember who sold it, but I do remember it making the news. I think it sold for, at that time, it was world record for I think it was like maybe $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, that's the car. So, I'm talking about. Yeah, yep.
Oh, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, because Every once in a while, do you watch by any chance? Do you catch any of the car auctions on television?
Yeah, I do. I do, because if I ever like were to win a lottery and win like a, not the small lotteries, $1 million, I would just hand out to my family and stuff like that, and myself. But if I ever like won one of those, you know, lotteries where, my God, you win like $100 million. First thing I would do would be not to buy a house for myself, would be to buy a nice large barn that's heated and stuff like that. And then I'd go out and buy a 59 Continental convertible, 1966 Continental convertible. I'd go out and I'd buy an Avanti. I'd buy, yeah, I mean, honest to God, I would. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I would put a lot of money into old cars.
Well, I flip through every once in a while just to see what's happening with the market with these cars. And I am just gobsmacked at the how quickly and how much they sell for. And it's kind of mystifies me in a way, because a lot of the cars, we've done appraisals on cars. And if you know how they do them, in order to, especially muscle cars, they have equipment that measures the thickness of the paint, measures how much is original on the car. They have these monitors that they can aim at this. They look like guns, and they touch the metal, and they measure the depth of the finish. And if the more original metal that's on the car, the more it's going to appraise for, because it hasn't been altered in any way. So I don't know how, like this Barracuda, I'm not sure how much of it is, I'm sure all that's been taken care of, but I'm always wondering when you see these beautiful muscle cars at these auctions on television, how many of them are in original condition?
Well, you can,
because I don't think a lot of them are probably 100% original. Like they've been, the rust has been taken off, and they've been new finishes have been put on. So, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with what the value is going to be, because I know it does when you're appraising them. The more original it is, of course, the higher the value is. So it'd be interesting to find out some facts about this, what's happened with this Barracuda, and how much of it is original and how much of it's been restored.
Great thing I love about the car auctions on TV is that they have so many different nights of the auction, and there's always one night where it's reserved for people that want to get in and get a car and not spend $100,000, $200,000, but maybe spend anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. And it does open up. It does open up for people to want to invest in a car like that. And those are not. Those are daily driver auction cars, okay? Those aren't all originals, but it still can get the person involved and interested in it. So that's the great thing I love about automobile auctions. You can go there one night, and you can get something for $15,000, and then another night something sells for $3 million.
I mean, yeah. So I just remember that after I got out of the Army in 1973, of course, the Barracuda, I think the Barracuda came out in, when was it, like 1970 or maybe, or was it before the 70s?
The Barracuda came out like in 69, but the Barracudas that were really the big ones that had the entrance, right around 70, 71 is when they really got. Really, most all those what they call those pony cars, those muscle cars, they all got going really big time around 1970, 71.
Well, when I got out of the Army, I figured I was going to buy myself a new car, and of course, Chevrolet at the time, once the Barracuda became like the symbol of like the muscle car, as it were. A lot of the other Chevrolet made a model that looked very, very similar to the Barracuda. And since I couldn't afford the Barracuda, I ended up getting the Chevy because it looked very Barracuda-ish, but it was a Chevy, and I loved that car. I absolutely loved that car, and the Barracuda is one of those cars that I always really did like of all of the cars. That and the Mustang, those were my two favorite cars that I got hooked on. So I never, it'll be interesting to see what this sells for, because it's, do you know, is it going to be a private, or is it's going up for a regular auction?
It's a regular auction. It's a big old regular auction, but it should be very interesting to see to see what it gets. I always like, you know, looking back to see one that was auctioned off in 74 and went for about $3 to $4 million. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2021 with almost the exact same car. And see what it fetches so many years later. So it's going to be interesting. But there's another auction though that's sports related, and that is the auction that is coming up, I think, on May 5th or 6th, and it's a sports auction that's being put on by Heritage Auctions.
Yeah,
and they've got a lot of things in their lot there.
Yeah, they have really become a force to be reckoned with in the sports. They're probably, I think, one of the preeminent sports auction houses. Since they have opened up, for lack of a better word, the assets that they sell, they make an immense impact on what's happened with memorabilia, the shoes, all of the memorabilia from baseball. I think a lot of the great prices over the past 4 years, I think if you look back, probably 80 to 90% of them have been sold through Heritage. So they seem to be really starting to corner the market on those, the auctions, and the upcoming auction is going to be, I think it's going to also set some records, because there are some things in there. I was scanning through it just the other day to see what was up for auction, and I usually like to see what they're doing in their decorative arts, because that's a part of their business that they're just building up. But the sports thing, that is a major portion of their income now, and also comic books and comic art have also done very well at Heritage over the past several years. So when they focus a sale on just specific things, it really does well. And I think that's their business model for selling at auction for these different types of assets. They've really cornered the market. And when Heritage advertises a sports sale, it's big, because they usually get a lot of people. They do a lot of online as opposed to in person. So we're going to be following that, because there were some things that I noticed that were in there that were some fun and some interesting things that could be sleepers. So we'll see what happens. So
yeah, they've got some incredible baseball cards, but also they got a cool thing, 100 unopened wax packs, okay? Now, you have to be my age or Greg's age to understand, of Topps baseball cards from 1964 that sold for 1 cent. They've got that, but they've also got a game-worn jersey by Michael Jordan when he was at the University of North Carolina. And this is the same jersey that the Sporting News had a picture of him on the cover with. I would hate to think what that's going to go for.
Oh, that's going to be big. That's really, really going to be one of the big things. But I was just pulling it up here. I did see something else that was very interesting that was going to be sold at the sale. And I thought, oh, I don't think I've ever even seen anything like any a collectible. I think they're what was it? I can't see it right now, but I'll have, when I find it, I'll post it on the website. But Heritage is, we have friends that work at Heritage, and we just back and forth, we follow them all the time, because a lot of times, depending on what it is we're trying to sell for estates, we try to make it competitive. So we try to get the stuff to Heritage and some of the other auction companies to see who's going to give us the best terms. And oddly enough, some of the things that you don't think of Heritage for selling do quite well once they do, you know, on these focused auctions that they do. And I think that's the secret to their success, is not only volume, but they also, they target, they have a very targeted auctions. And if other companies would focus on just specific things on specific days, kind of like Julian's does, you know, they, that, that's one of their keys to success, is they do focused sales. And I think we've noticed over the past year with COVID and everything, those sales, everybody said, oh no, this is going to kill the auction market. Well, because they're focused, people know exactly what's in these auctions, and things have really broken, a lot of records have been broken over this past year. So, and Heritage is a large part of that. So, it's probably one of our top, in our top five houses to follow whenever we're doing any comparables or anything. So I usually like to also follow, because you can follow in real time, which is very good. So you can see see what the what happens in real time. And the other thing is, they don't necessarily, there doesn't have to be, you know, it just takes a handful of items to make a sale newsworthy. So I mean, we've talked about this in the past, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with Heritage on this upcoming sports auction. And they have, they also do pretty well with manuscripts, which is another thing that people don't think so much about Heritage for, because everybody thinks about Heritage as coins and watches. But the coin auctions is what they started with, and then over the past 15 years they've expanded to collectibles, decorative arts, advertising, you name it, you know, contemporary art. With their art department, though, I don't think their art is quite there yet, because they're not really known so much for that. They're more known for the sports things. So, and they sold a lot of, I think they just recently sold some, had a terrific space sale, space auction. So, yeah, Heritage, this auction is going to be a good auction to follow. And I'd recommend people, since it's free to watch, you just have to register. You don't have to buy anything or pay for anything, but it'll be interesting to see what these things sell for. So,
and one final thing in that auction, which is kind of cool, and that is the 1972 World Chess Championship chessboard that Bobby Fischer defeated Boris Spassky. It's not just the board, it's the table and the board and the little clock timers and the chess pieces. That minimum bid to bid on that is $100,000. But that is another, see, that to me is a cool item. That is a very cool
it
item.
It is. Well, that's what makes a collectibles collectible. I mean, these were items that were never meant to be collected. So, and it's driven by rarity and desirability. And that is going to be an item that is going to command a tremendous amount of attention and a high ticket. It's a high ticket item. So that'll be fun to see. We'll have to follow that one too, because, you know, you always wonder where people get these things and why they have to sell them. So for me, part of the intrigue about auction is, what is the story behind the item? I would like to know where this came from. So I'll have to do a little bit of research. I'll have to do what I say, go into deep Google and find, because there's a that would be an interesting thing to find out where it came from and why it's being sold, if it's out there somewhere. So when is that coming up? Did you notice?
I think it's May 5th. It's very close. It's coming up towards the end of this week, this auction, into the weekend. So, I mean, it's very close.
Well, then it'll be before next week, because we'll have to talk about it next week, because that's going to be that'll be an interesting thing to follow. Because, you know, some of these things, you think, oh, how is that going to sell? It's, you know, who plays chess? Well, you'd be surprised.
Could you imagine
if that was a?
Can you imagine if somebody purchased it, and then they, because both Spassky and they're both still alive, Bobby Fischer and Spassky. So someone purchases it and says, "Hey guys, want to come and play again?"
Oh, wouldn't that a rematch? Oh my God, that'd be like the Thrilla in Manila. I mean, I'm telling you. I remember when that was in the news. Oh my God, that seems like it was chess in the news. That was the lead story for I don't know how long.
It was like when the United States beat Russia in the Olympics back in Lake Placid. Yeah. You're right. It was more than just a chess match. It really was. It was amazing. All right.
So that'll be just the thing. We'll have to. I'll follow that, and then next week we'll have to talk about it and see what it sells for. So.
All right. Well, I want you to have a good rest of the week. Okay.
Hey, yeah, I'm busy. I don't know if I told you this, but one of my sidelines as I'm semi-retired is we have a wine shop here in Hobe Sound called Casa del Vino, and I'm baking desserts for them once a week. So that's my new thing.
That's not a bad thing. All right, Craig, we will check with you. We'll check with you next week. Okay.
Yeah, Tim will be back next week. He should be here next week.
Well, give our best to Tim when you speak to him, okay?
Okay.
Take
care. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Greg Strom for Tim Luke this week. The Freakin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group with Appraise This.